Support for Health Matters on MSPR comes from the Northeast Kentucky Area Health Education Center, located at the St. Clair Regional Medical Center in Moorhead. Additional information on the Northeast AHEC is available online at neahec.org.
Hello and welcome to Health Matters. I am your host and radio health evangelist.
Did you have to do that?
Dr. Tony Weaver. And this is the 12 Diseases of Christmas show. All will be explained as we go through the motions of making a radio show. Thanks to our listeners at True Talk Internet Radio and here from the University of Kentucky to explain to you how to access our holiday webpage. Manager of Communications Infrastructure, Rick Phillips. Hey, Rick.
Hey, Tony. You know you can get the audio of the shows at wmky.org. That is Moorhead State Public Radio's website. Yes, you have to find us in the menu. Yes, you have to search for the little thing that says Health Matters. And when you click it in all its splendor, there is our list of shows. Our most recent shows, read about them, listen to them, sign up for the podcast, download them, send them to your friend. Hey, talk about some cheap, cheap Christmas presents. Right?
That's right. I like it.
But if you just want to get some 3-cent CDs and burn them, then you have literally just given the gift of life for the price of 3 cents.
Wow.
You might have to buy
it. It sort of makes you choke up when you think of it.
It is. I'm welling up right now. So, WMKY.org is where you listen to the show. So now, hey, these guys are funny. Hey, I want to talk to these guys. Everybody knows what Facebook is. If you're over the age of 21 now, you use Facebook. If you're over the age of 30, you use Facebook a lot.
You know, you're really stretching this out.
Facebook.com.
Rick with his Facebook statistics.
/HM Radio Show. That's where you'll find our fan page. You can go there, like that page. You'll get regular updates. We do put stuff up there from time to time. It gives you an opportunity to comment on topics that are presented. It gives you a chance to send feedback on potential show topics, which we've had a couple lately. So I don't know when that'll find its way into the show, but you know, Tony usually does put that into the show. So it's certainly one way to get a topic online. Is that's just to go to Facebook.com/HM Radio Show.
Our sponsor for today's show, Advanced Planning. Why not start the conversation this Christmas? And I do mention start the conversation. The Institute for Healthcare Improvement has a theconversationproject.org webpage. That's right. If you just search for The Conversation Project or type in www.theconversationproject.org, you will find this webpage. And it is encouraging you this holiday season to talk with your family about end-of-life care. No, it's not a particularly happy conversation, but it's something you need to do. You'll have them all gathered around. The football game is going to go pretty bad in the second half. Why not talk about something important with the ones you love? From the Institute for Healthcare Improvement, the Conversation Project, 90% of people say talking with their loved ones about end-of-life care is important, but 27% have actually done so. 60% say that they want to make sure their family's not burdened by tough decisions, but only half of them have actually communicated their wishes. 80% say if they were seriously ill, they want to talk to their doctor. 7% have done so. 82% say it's important to put their wishes in writing. 23% have done it. Now, putting your wishes in writing, creating a living will, is an important thing, but it means very little unless you talk to your family. Let's face it, when that will is pulled out, you are not in position to explain to your family why you put the things you did down. And I have seen many occasions where a living will actually causes more discord than solves problems because people did not discuss it with their family. So you start the conversation now. Start talking to your family. Next fractional portion, we'll talk about the things that you should talk about. But at this fractional portion, we want to remind you, start the conversation. TheConversationProject.org gives you some help in doing that. That's our sponsor. Now, Rick, I ran across an article. This will come probably late in the second fractional portion that made me rethink the 12 Days of Christmas. This is one of the more annoying songs ever. It started as a chant, and I could see it. You know, if you put some drums to it and made it a chant, I might like it more, but it just gets on my nerves how many gifts this person gives and the type of gifts. They're the type of gifts you would not want. They're the type of gifts that would be annoying, frankly, if they were given.
Really?
Do you think? Well, I mean, honestly, what would you do with 12 Lords Leaping?
Well, no
or
comment.
10 Lords Leaping, sorry.
Yeah, you don't even know your song.
I've got it written out here. I just messed up. But those sort of things. I mean, I'd take the gold rings.
But you'd take the 5 gold rings.
I would, and I think I would send everything else back
and get a refund. You wouldn't take a partridge and a pear tree?
Why?
First off, you got partridge,
yeah,
which is food.
Yeah.
And pear tree, which is dessert.
Oh, fine. A live partridge, but that means that I've got to slaughter it. I've got to pluck it. I've got to do all that stuff. I don't have time for that.
Well, you'll get hungry enough.
Why not some partridge burgers? I don't know if they may. I guess they don't. Anyway, but let's. But at any rate, I thought, well, let's look at the 12 diseases of Christmas. We'll talk about the health effects of these gifts. First of all, 12 drummers drumming. Now, we have to make a conflict of interest statement here. Both Rick and I, at different times in our life, have played drums for a
audience.
Band, yeah, for an audience. We both have done that. So
I've done it once. You've done it hundreds, if not thousands, of times.
We are two drummers, but this is 12 drummers. And so this was one that didn't
12 drummers
come to
is
me.
A drum line.
It is. And I have an article about a drum line. This was from the Journal of Alternative and Complementary Medicine back in July, and it was titled "The Therapeutic Potential of a Drum and Dance Ceremony Based on the African Ngoma Tradition." And I'm going to absolutely butcher these words. Ngoma ceremonies used throughout Central and South Africa to help people address difficult issues. Rick, maybe I should have a Ngoma ceremony over you. I'm just saying it's a possibility.
If you say so.
Ngo means big cats. Ma means to give. Thus, a Ngoma ceremony literally means to give the strength of the panther.
Wow.
Now, that's the thing. If somebody gives me a bunch of lords leaping around, that's one thing. But what if you got the strength of a panther? The problem is, the way this song works, they would probably give you a panther, and that would be very annoying. Well, here's what they did.
Only if you let it out of the cage.
Came from Duke University, and no surprise there. And by the way, Rick, this is simply not my type of research, which is why I actually wanted to spend a little bit of time with it. These were adults, ages 25 to 65, with chronic illnesses. 15 out of 17 of them had a chronic illness, anxiety, depression, cancer, chronic Lyme disease, fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue syndrome, more than 8 healthcare visits in the past year. No chronic disease diagnoses were included. That is, these were people who saw a lot of doctors and had conditions. And things like chronic fatigue syndrome and myalgia, these are very difficult conditions to treat. These are people that they don't do well in today's healthcare system. They come in, they give their informed consent. The facilitator is dressed in the traditional white attire worn by the Lukumi priest. And you know that white attire. You know the Lukumi priest.
Right.
Yeah. It's a typical Lukumi priest attire as a sign of devotion.
Very, very priest-like.
Peace, tranquility, and healing, and so forth. They were invited to focus by performing 10 minutes of meditative practice, mindfulness, meditation,
prayer, whatever. Can you focus meditating?
Well, so you walk in the room, and they say, we want you to meditate. There are 17 people in the room. You don't know them. And you did this. Meanwhile, drummers were positioned along the wall.
Okay.
Well, don't you think it's hard to meditate when there's a bunch of drummers along the wall?
Are they drumming?
Not yet.
Well, then I'm meditating.
I'm meditating. I'm wondering when they're going to start drumming.
Well, but then you're meditating about.
Yeah, and that's
what you're thinking about.
Completely distracts
me. Doesn't matter. You're still meditating.
Yeah. Well, they had a white candle, water, a cigar, rum, mixed dry beans, and Florida water, which is a light cologne. And they purified the musicians and the Lukumi priest facilitator.
Did you just say they purified?
Yeah, they had a purification ceremony before
they
unpure? Started the drumming. Not after the ceremony.
And exactly how did he know they were unpure?
Now, first of all, so you realize these are people with chronic illnesses, very, very difficult to
right.
treat chronic illnesses, not life-threatening, chronic illnesses.
And very good drummers.
They come in, they've got a wall of drums, a Lukumi priest, cigars, rum, all this stuff, purification ceremony, meditation.
So they're in the middle of a really good hallucination.
All right, so how many men do you think signed up for this ceremony?
None.
And this is one of the
were they offering money?
And see, no.
Or free beer?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Yeah, they're going to
all right, they purified the drummers, and then the drums started, okay? They had an hour and a half of dancing. They got a rest break every 20 minutes. You know, when you're having a religious ceremony, those rest breaks can get key. Focus their attention on the music and dance and let their preoccupations drop away as much as possible. This was the Congolese Zibola rhythm. That's an unfortunate name, but it was. And they put them, it was performed on nsingas. And I don't know how these are pronounced. These are drums with goatskin heads played standing up. And the dance involved axial movements, but it was modified to require no more than moderate effort. The dance followed a circular path spaced 3 to 5 feet apart. Now, here's my problem. I get in this thing. I've done my meditation and my prayer. The drumming starts. I have to dance in a circle. And who's in front of me? Rick. Rick is
Big
dancing
Rick.
5 feet in front of me.
I'm not dancing. That's not me.
I mean, that you're
you
part
have
of
the wrong dude.
Here's well, but the thing is,
ask
how
my
can
wife. I
how
don't
can
dance.
I experience a peace and a letting go when I am following you around in a circle and you're dancing? I am having trouble. I'm probably going to wet my
you
pants.
You can't meditate before. In the conga line?
No. So they did this. And again, for an hour and a half, I'm following Rick around dancing. I'm following him around
I
in a circle
I did not know
dancing.
You liked me that much.
I don't.
What you will do for research.
I know. A 10-minute quiet period, snacks, apples, bananas, and oranges, bottled water, available during the dancing and the fall. So I could take a break and get a banana, and then I'm back in line behind. Maybe if I took a break, maybe that space would dance on by, and I could get behind somebody that I would enjoy dancing behind.
Yeah.
Maybe
not,
so.
Not a chance. There's nobody in that.
Then they had a focus group. They
focus said, group as in a group of people focused on making it better? Or
no,
were they meditating and focusing?
They asked specific questions to the group. The person with anxiety disorder and depression didn't like it because she didn't think she was as good a dancer as the others. Which, I'm sorry. Wouldn't you know the person with anxiety would be worried about her dance movements? The person with chronic fatigue syndrome felt that the exertion was too high. That was too much dancing to dance for an hour and a half. But everybody else said it was a pretty good experience. It made you feel better. One person said it was like a feeling of oneness, talking with my ancestors, moving into myself at the same time as moving out of myself. I think that's what Rick would say.
Right.
Yeah, sure. And everybody said, well, we need some kind of team building exercise beforehand so we would know each other and use less African dance vocabulary and more English words would be very handy in this. One person says the bongos
Nobody said it's just wrong. The whole thing's just wrong.
One person said the bongos bring out the beast in me. And I have used those words, certainly, at one time or another. But
did you ever play bongos?
I did. Not in a...
Wait a minute. You're waffling.
No, not in a performance. But yeah. My parents bought me bongos when I was...
Boy Weaver.
Absolutely.
Weaver.
So we've wasted too much time on this, but honestly...
have to waste another minute on it.
Well, my problem with this is this type of research, I just don't know what to do with. First of all, you know, they said these ceremonies are not for healing. We need to learn how to incorporate other cultures. And when you talk about medicinal ceremonies, everybody, of course, thinks that it's some kind of a magic ceremony that's supposed to heal. But they said these are really to work out problems to help deal with chronic diseases. I think it's hokey. I think most men would think that's hokey.
Right.
And if you disagree with me, please write us on our Facebook page and let me know. But I think this is kind of hokey. On the other hand, I will say, Rick, our culture has made it almost impossible for people my age to dance. Quite simply, I am embarrassed by anything I do.
Right.
Because
me too.
We are the butt of jokes about the way we dance. So for us, dancing is not an option. And after all, an hour and a half of dancing, if nothing else, it's pretty good exercise. Why don't you dance your way to the fridge and grab a nice cool beverage, take a break.
Unless you're driving.
In which case, please send us some photos. And come back for our second fractional portion. You're listening to Health Matters on Morehead State Public Radio.
Support for MSPR comes from the Northeast Kentucky Area Health Education Center, located at the St. Clair Regional Medical Center in Morehead. The Northeast AHEC connects students to careers, professionals to communities, and communities to better health. The Northeast AHEC strives to improve the supply and distribution of healthcare professionals through the community and academic educational partnerships. More information is available online at neahec.org.
Hello and welcome back. This is the second fractional portion of Health Matters. I'm Rick Phillips.
I'm Dr. Tony Weaver. This is the 12 Diseases of Christmas. We may have to skip a few, but we're going to stay with the theme overall. Our sponsor for the second time, Advanced Planning. Why not start the conversation this Christmas? And again, much of the material for this sponsor comes from the Conversation Project. You can just search that on the internet. It's from the Institute for Healthcare Improvement, and it encourages you to talk with your family about your wishes at end of life. And they're recommending, as a matter of fact, anyone over age 70. 82% of estate planning attorneys surveyed recommending having discussion about end-of-life issues before a parent is 70 years old. So, again, if you're getting in your 60s, it's time to talk. We've already had the conversation. We revised our wills, and we have appointed our health care and our financial surrogates back last summer. And this is an excellent thing to do. Let your family know and talk about your wishes on a regular basis. It gets a little bit easier just to remind them of the things that are important to you. Here's some questions. What to talk about when you think about the last phase of your life? What's most important to you, and how would you like this to be? Describe what your ideal. This is the last phase. What they're talking about is, you know that whatever condition you're struggling with now, you're not going to be able to be cured of that. That condition is going to follow you to the end of your life. That condition will probably take your life. Well, how do you want that to end? How hard do you want to fight that condition? What are the important things to you? Do you have any particular concerns about your health in the last phase? What affairs do you need to get into order or talk to your loved ones about? Your finances, property, relationships, things like that, you know. How do you feel about dividing up your property? How would you want your loved ones to address this after you're gone?
So, and then I'll pull you into the modern era. Who do you give your passwords to?
Yeah.
How much of your life can be summed up through some password?
Well, we talked about it. It's kind of important to have some list of ways to access your stuff. Now, you can put that in a safety deposit box or something like that. Now, admittedly, you're going to be changing your passwords pretty often, but people at least need to know where these resources are, these accounts and so forth.
So probably once every 6 months, you should update your safety deposit box. And I would recommend looking at software. If anybody's interested, there's software out there it's called a password vault. You can get them for your phone or your mobile device. You can get them for your desktop. I like one called KeePass. It's KeePass, KeePass. It's a very good product. Stores all your passwords under one master password, right? So then all I have to do is make sure that my spouse has one master password. I update that every 6 months, and every 6 months I put a new piece of paper in the safety deposit box. So now, if one of us has a problem, we can get to all the passwords, all the websites, all the insurance accounts. They're all listed there nice and neat in your password vault.
There you go.
Hey, you weren't expecting that. I gave you 5 minutes to go to the restroom and get a drink and do whatever it is you need to do, and then come back and comment.
Rick is trying to take over the show.
Not trying,
but
I did.
That's actually a good piece of information.
I did take over the show.
You did, and it's a good piece of information. I absolutely agree with you.
The other thing too, it keeps your password secure. They're not on a post-it note so that when I break into your house, I sit down at your computer, I transfer out all your money while you're sleeping.
Right. Well, the other thing is with the frequency of changing passwords, at least, again, in the event that something happens to you, I'm sure there are other ways to go about it, but if your loved ones don't even know how to access these resources, then you're in trouble. So you got to do that, and I like Rick's idea as well. Have a way to share this information with your loved ones. Question four, who do you want or not want to be involved in your care?
Not want.
That's right.
Who do you not want?
You got that.
Are you willing? No, don't answer.
Yeah.
Don't answer. Don't go
on the radio show, I'm going to tell you who exactly is the black sheep in my family. Would you prefer you to be actively involved in decisions about your care, or would you rather have the doctors do what they think's best? I have a lot of patients who just say, look, you're the doctor, you know what you're doing, I trust you. And believe me, when the family comes in from out of state, they don't necessarily share that sentiment. That can be
Nor do you necessarily have the legal paperwork to where that's actually true.
Yeah. So again, this is something you've got to talk with your family, especially that brother that lives the son that lives out away from everybody else. You need to make sure that everybody's clued in on what you want.
And Tony, I'm not picking on any one group of people, but it's also that son or daughter that might be in the medical field, because when they come into town and they've not been a part of the regular, standard of care for that patient, sometimes things don't look the way they're used to it looking or feeling or acting, and that can create some difficult tension in the whole thing, can it?
Six, are there disagreements about family tensions you're concerned about? Disagreements or family tensions you're concerned about? That is, are there things that you feel will probably bubble up to the surface in these stressful times? Do you need to address those now? And then seven, I love this. Are there important milestones you'd like to be there for if possible? These are important things for people to know. And this is one of my problems with advanced directives, because advanced directives are so centered on the disease. If I have this disease, this is what I want. And there are so many circumstances where the family may be coming in from the other part of the country, where an important anniversary or milestone may be present, that would color whether or not you wanted to receive aggressive measures, because you want to live through that, or you don't want to die on that day, or you want to wait till those people get there. I think end of life should be a negotiation. I always tell my patients, all right, let's appoint someone to sell your car.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like my car, though.
I know. But,
it's entirely possible. I may want to be cremated in my car.
In that case, then obviously you don't want to sell it unless something really awful happens to your car. Or maybe even if something awful happens to your car. Who knows what would prompt you to sell your car? I think in the same way, it's hard to just write on a piece of paper, this is how I want things to end. What if it is your anniversary? What if it is Christmas Day? What if by waiting 24 hours, you could save your family $100,000 in taxes, in estate taxes? And this did happen. I mean, there was a big major change in estate
taxes. I'm sure
you're
not making it up.
Yeah. What if your near-do-well brother also had a terminal condition and you were set to inherit money unless you died before he did?
Right.
Wouldn't you want, this would be a great movie, trying to keep you alive longer than him so your family gets the $1 million.
Right.
There are so many
circumstances. Who wants to be a millionaire?
There are so many circumstances in life that it's very difficult to write on a paper. That's why these conversations are essential. That's why advanced planning is our sponsor. Why not start the conversation this Christmas?
But, Tony, you know as well as I that the majority of the time this doesn't happen, it's probably either A, because you didn't think about it. We eliminated that. We're making you think about it. Or B, it's a tough conversation to have. Nobody wants to talk about your or your spouse's or your family's mortality. But, you know, I recently had my aunt passed away about a week ago. It does force those discussions if they've happened before. And in this case, my aunt had shared directives. Everybody knew what she wanted. It was very clear. Makes things much easier, cuts down on family tension. You know, I mean, there's a whole lot of reasons why this is good for you and your people around you.
It's a great gift to give to your family.
It really is.
To give them the gift of knowing what you want so that they can all act on it. It's not going to end all arguments. It's not going to solve everything.
I've already put in mind that I want you to come and tell jokes. That's one of my directives.
Now, I have a large collection of bar jokes, but I'm not so good on knock-knock jokes.
And I am going to change it. I am now going to have you come and play bongos. You will be at my memorial service.
No, here's what
playing bongos.
All right, here's what I want you to do. I want you to come to my funeral. I want you to dance. I want you to do a rhythmic dance in honor of my life.
As long as I don't have to pull a curtain around me or something, I could probably do it. No leaping.
And
I can't
videotape
leap.
It.
I'm
and
not
post
a
it
Lord's
on your
leaping.
Facebook page.
I hope I die before you.
And that's our sponsor, Advanced Planning. Why not get Rick to dance for your funeral? Just tell your family that this is really what you're looking
Merry
for.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah. Glad they go to the nursing home, but I need Rick dancing at my funeral. We're talking about the 12 diseases of Christmas, and we only got through one. So obviously we're going to have to, I'm tossing some paper right now. First of all, 11 pipers piping. I had some things on bagpipes. It's not very good. It's gone.
It sounds terrible.
Yeah. All right.
I mean, do you think bagpipes sound good?
No. As a matter of fact,
starting them up and shutting them down sounds awful. Somewhere in the middle, I can get with it.
It was probably about 10 years ago we brought something on this show where music helps soothe people in the nursing homes, except bagpipes. Actually, the researchers found that playing the bagpipes for people in the nursing home made them more agitated and require more medications. That's my feeling for bagpipes. And I'm sorry. I love Amazing Grace. I do not think that even Amazing Grace will save a bagpipe. That came out funny, but what I mean is that song does not make me love bagpipes.
So what's 10?
All right.
What's 10? Come on.
Wait. Advanced planning at my funeral, no bagpipes.
Okay.
Just Rick dancing.
Believe me, if I'm dancing, nobody's going to hear the bagpipes.
All right. So 10. 10 Lords of Leaping. Now, when I say 10 Lords of Leaping, and we take that to modern times, where would you find 10 Lords Leaping?
I don't know. I only have one.
Okay. NBA.
No, Lord. I only have one Lord. Can't have the other 9, Tony. It goes against my religion.
King LeBron is a Lord, and he leaps.
10 Lords of Leaping. Well, why can't we do 10 Leaping Lannies? I mean, the old wrestler. Remember the old wrestler named Leaping Lanny? You remember him?
No, okay, sorry. I never watched that.
You weren't a wrestler?
Back in August, though, we had 2 Lords of Leaping who died suddenly. And this is worth talking about. Daryl Dawkins, Chocolate Thunder.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
I remember him.
He was 58. Okay. Died from a heart attack in August.
Yeah, young, you know.
Yeah.
Very young.
And then, like 2 weeks later, Moses Malone.
Yeah, that one,
was
that, found those,
dead.
Those were two very sad departures.
Now, let me explain. Moses Malone was found dead. Moses Malone was a regularly exercised, ate well, did not do drugs, did not do alcohol, and he had heart disease. He actually had complained of an irregular heartbeat. He was, and this is a moment of irony, Moses Malone was wearing a heart monitor when he died, of heart disease. Now, if you look at the average age of NBA players, it's actually about 2 years greater, the average life expectancy of NBA players, it's about 2 years longer than the U.S. average. That is, as a group, these athletes live longer than the U.S. average. However, I think the question is, what about the tallest guys?
Right.
And I looked in before the show and could not find that. Basketball players do seem to have, especially the big guys, seem to have a slightly higher rate of heart disease. We know there's a heart rhythm called atrial fibrillation that's more common in tall people, but I could not find anything on the health effects of being 7 feet tall.
You know, the funny thing is, Tony, and I hate to put you on the spot here, but I'm almost certain we've talked about this on the show. We've talked about having, but maybe it wasn't, we weren't talking about their mortality. Maybe we were talking about overall health, like, you know, knee problems, leg problems.
Well,
maybe
certainly
it wasn't heart problems.
There's the orthopedic thing. They and some endurance athletes, which I don't know if you call NBA basketball an endurance sport, but endurance athletes have higher rates of heart problems. We know that tall people have higher rates of cancer, and not just because they have more things to get cancer. There is a opinion, this is, again, it's just a theory, a hypothesis, that the same growth hormone that makes you tall also makes your cells grow and could then cause possibility of cancer. But honestly, these two, and it was just kind of jarring, these two NBA big men both died of heart ailments within a couple of weeks of each other, and made people ask, well, what does being that tall? We just don't have enough people over age 7 feet to know what they suffer from. That's the Lords of Leaping. Nine Ladies Dancing. We've talked about dancing already. I'm going to shelve that one. Dancing is a great thing to do. Ballroom dancing.
So why don't you do it?
Because I'm embarrassed. We did.
Is it because Frances gets embarrassed?
No, I don't think so, because she's not. She actually.
Well,
she
no,
took
she's
dance
probably good.
When
I'm
she
saying
was young.
She's embarrassed to dance.
Yeah,
with
she did.
You.
She did Jane Fonda's Jazzercise, so she has been practicing her dancing moves, and she does Zumba now, so she still dances.
Do you ever do Zumba?
With girls. I have never done Zumba. You?
No.
Oh.
Not that I'll ever admit to.
Not going to happen.
I'll
I don't
never
think
cop
for me.
To that one.
Yeah, pretty much. But,
plus, you take a look at me and you go, nah, he's never done Zumba.
Yeah. I'll tell you what happened. We took Arthur Murray when my last year of medical school.
Don't tell my wife that.
Oh, well, here's what they do. You know, we were dancing along. We both were in marching band. We're very rhythmic people, but we're not graceful.
Well, you're a drummer.
Yeah, but I'm not graceful. You
right.
know that. And so what happened was we got to the end of our lessons, and they did a videotape, and they showed us the videotape just to prove that we needed more Arthur Murray lessons.
And so you ended it.
It was
you
a,
terminated
it was
the relationship?
Very, it was a very low blow to actually videotape me and then play it back and say, look.
It's extortion.
It is. It's like, you know.
It's a form of extortion.
You think you're a dancer, but let's just look at the tape, buddy.
No Dancing with the Stars for you, Tony.
No, not going to happen. Absolutely not going to happen. I admire them, but my goodness, I'm the comedian that gets rolled on the first show.
Oh, I'm sorry. Are you trying to be a comedian?
No, I'm not telling jokes yet. I'm waiting for your funeral. 8, milking Medicaids. Now, when you talk about milking Medicaid, I think what you're talking about is these pharmaceutical companies. Just to remind our listeners, we have a problem with the prices of medicine here in the United States. There have been several things that have come up that have indicated that the pharmaceutical companies have a plan. They are taking advantage of the fact that the Affordable Care Act expanded insurance access and also expanded our ability collectively to pay for medicines. Turing Pharmaceuticals, you may remember this, they bought rights to the drug Daraprim. They raised the price from $13 a tablet to $750 a tablet overnight. This is a pill you can get for 66 cents a pill in Europe. It is now $750 a pill in the U.S. You can fly to Europe. And this is not a drug that takes one or two doses. You have to take it over a period of time to treat toxoplasmosis. And these are people with HIV, AIDS, or cancer that have immune suppression and have to be on this medicine. They could, in fact, fly to Europe, have an excellent European vacation, buy their medicines there, and come back. And still, it costs less than it costs here in the U.S. The company was shamed into saying that they would actually reduce the price back to where it was before, but they have decided not to. They're going to leave it at $750, get a little bit more money. They have a competitor who's making them for 99 cents a tablet, but for right now, many people, that's the only option they've got is this. And the same thing happens with, of course, the hepatitis drugs. We've said over and over again. New York Times, back last summer, Kentucky spent more than $50 million, 7% of our Medicaid budget, to provide hepatitis C drugs to 800 people. We have 4 million people on Medicaid. We spent 7% of our budget on 800 of them. That's simply not going to work. We're going to have to get these drug prices under control.
Right.
And that's milking Medicaid, and that's the number 8.
Okay.
7 Swans of
Swimming. You wore me out with that one.
I know. I went on a rant. I apologize, but I did.
You wore me out. I mean, you know, we've talked about that one. That one's we've known about.
I found nothing on swans. Swans can swim all they want to.
Oh, did you?
Nothing there.
You messed up. You totally messed up. I can't believe you did not think about the effects of ice cream on people. You're talking about Swan's ice cream, right?
Oh, no. Well, I thought about...
I mean, you have to be talking about
There's a catheter called Swan-Ganz catheter, and it actually swims in your bloodstream and sends signals back.
Ooh,
but no.
Man, ooh.
Yeah, but that's
you brought
that's
back memories.
Stuff. Yeah, but Rick,
I used to be around when they'd float those things because the monitor that it hooked to put the little beep, 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 beep. I used to have to work on those.
Yep. And six geese a-wheezing. We'll leave that alone. Five golden rings. I'm going to just... This is very brief, but I want to say it. This was reported... No,
do you even have a gold ring?
No.
I have a silver ring. Well, I guess I do have a gold ring. I got one gold ring.
August 14th.
I got the ring of obedience.
Is that what you call your wedding ring?
Yeah. My wife knows it.
The ring of obedience.
It's the one ring to rule them all.
It rules you.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it rules them all. In our house, it rules them all.
This is August 14th, the Emergency Medicine Journal. I'm going to get you out of trouble here as quick as I can.
Nah, she's not going to listen to this show.
So, gold rings, if your finger swells up, let's say you injure your finger and it swells up, and it swells up around the ring, you can use a ring cutter and cut off a gold ring. But a titanium ring, that's a toughie.
Right, because you can't cut the titanium.
Specialized cutting equipment, dental saws, drills, diamond tip saws, things like that.
But, you know,
it's difficult.
Tony, all you got to do is go to Facebook, go to Yahoo, go to Twitter, go to YouTube. And there are like a half a dozen videos on how to deal with a stuck ring.
Right. You use the dental floss.
Yeah. Isn't that a great thing?
It's a great idea. But there are some circumstances where your finger's been injured and you just can't do that.
Oh.
And this is the crazy thing. August 14th, 2015, how many years have we had titanium rings? There was a case report of the doctors using a large pair of bolt cutters to get the titanium ring off in less than a minute.
And they did?
They did. And
must be a good set of bolt cutters.
Well, it was a large set. I don't think it was that little thing you can hold in one hand. I suspect it was those two-handed bolt cutters.
And you know, the thing is the cutting portion of that usually isn't out at the tip of them.
Mm-hmm.
So they probably had to get like on the side of it or something.
Less than 30 seconds. One operator without damage to the underlying finger can remove.
Oh, they did. They stipulated that they didn't damage the finger.
Because I mean, if you're wrapping, I've got a serious injury in my finger, and you're going to wrap it in dental floss. I am trying to find another healthcare provider as quickly as I can.
Or string, okay. Thread,
now,
all kinds of things.
Final factual portion. We've got the one story that I actually wanted to get from the 12 Days of Christmas. We're going to do that in our next fractional portion.
No, we're not.
Four calling birds. That's the exciting one.
Okay, if you
Meanwhile,
say so.
So, this is a great time to take a break, so that's what we're going to do. We're going to take a break. You should, too. We're going to come back with our third and final fractional portion. Merry Christmas to you. You're listening to Health Matters on Moorhead State Public Radio.
Support for MSPR comes from the Northeast Kentucky Area Health Education Center, located at the St. Clair Regional Medical Center in Moorhead. The Northeast AHEC connects students to careers, professionals to communities, and communities to better health. The Northeast AHEC strives to improve the supply and distribution of healthcare professionals through the community and academic educational partnerships. More information is available online at neahec.org.
Hello and welcome back. This is the third and final fractional portion of Health Matters. I'm Rick Phillips.
I'm Dr. Tony Weaver. This is the 12 Diseases of Christmas show.
And we're down to the last four.
The last four, but honestly, we're probably going to skip through a couple of them because they're not that interesting, but there are some that one that's absolutely fascinating.
But don't we need to spend like 18 minutes on the sponsor?
Our sponsor, the Advanced Planning. Why not start the conversation this Christmas? TheConversationProject.org. Search for The Conversation Project. Talk to your loved ones about your wishes at the end of your life. Again, people are not doing this. 82% of people say it's important to put their wishes in writing. 23% have done it. 80% said they want to talk to their doctor. 7% have done this. 60% say making sure their family's not burdened by tough decisions is important, but half of people have not even talked to their families. What do you talk to them about? What's important to you? How would you like this to work out? What affairs you need to get into order? Where are your things? This is, as Rick mentioned, where are your passwords? Where are your accounts? Where do they need to go to access these things after you're gone? Who do you want to be involved in your care? Who do you not want to be involved in your care? Are there disagreements? Are there family tensions that should be talked about now? Who gets the shifarobe? Family shifarobe. The kids have been fighting over it. Who is going to get the shifarobe? That's the big question.
Who cares?
It's a nice shifarobe.
Who cares?
It has been in the family for generations. It's important.
Did I even know it was in the family for generations?
Well, if you're my kids, no. They have no idea. They're going to go strictly on looks. Historical value means nothing. But there are those type of tensions that come up. Who feels unloved? Who expected to get the grand piano, the whatever it is, these things. Work this out so that your kids don't have to. And then finally, are there important milestones you'd like to be there for and possible? Detail the things that are important to you in your life, and that will help your family immeasurably. That's our sponsor, Advanced Planning. Now, this is what prompted the whole show. This is exciting. I'm going to have to take some time on this one, Rick. First of all, you need to know that pigeons have extraordinary extraordinary visual skills. Pigeons can remember over 1,800 visual images and can recall them when presented with them later.
So did they tell you that?
They gave the pigeons these visual images, and they said, you know.
And so the pigeon raised his hand and said, yep, that's the same.
That's
yep,
the one that's that the I've same. Seen before.
Really?
That's the one. Yeah, this is new. This is old. You basically, you say, peck this if it's new, peck this if it's old. And they remembered.
And they go, okay.
Yeah, sure. We'll do that. We're pigeons. They know letters of the alphabet. They can distinguish paintings by various artists because they get used to patterns. That's what they do, is pattern recognition. Well, if they do pattern recognition, maybe, and I promise you, I'm not making this up, maybe pigeons can diagnose cancer.
I'm going to hang with you for just a minute here. But,
sure.
Because I like being funny, and this is getting funny.
Okay, but every word of this is absolutely true. We're not making this up.
So they're going to diagnose breast cancer?
Right. Here's what they did. They gave them 144 breast tissue images. That's the tissue, not a mammogram, but the tissue. Different levels of magnification, black and white and in color. The birds could peck a blue or yellow button, benign yellow for malignant, and if they missed it, they pecked the blue button when it was actually a breast cancer, they wouldn't get any food. They would show them the image again. They would keep showing the image till they pecked yellow for breast cancer, and then they would get some food. So they learned what cancer looked like. They learned what they had to peck to get food. Okay. Then...
Is this going to raise the cost of my x-rays?
No. This may lower... Well, okay. Hard to say, but it might. lower it. After 15 daily sessions every hour, so each lasting an hour, sorry. So they train these birds for 2 weeks on how to distinguish a cancer from a non-cancer image.
Right, or a blue dot from a yellow dot.
Yeah, and then the pigeons were calling the cancer about 85% of the time, which is good but not great. Now, here's the interesting thing. If they call it flock sourcing, if they actually got, and I'm not making this up, if they got four different pigeons together and had them, the four different, they took the averages of those, four different could call cancer 99% of the time.
This particular type of cancer.
The breast cancer. Yeah.
Right.
They would look at these images of tissue. They would look for a pattern that looked like cancer because that's what they were trained to do over the past 2 weeks. And if you added together the opinions of four different pigeons, you would get 99% of the time they were able to call either it was a cancer or not a cancer. So what we've got here, Rick,
is four calling
birds.
Yeah, I thought you were going to go somewhere with the cat scan. Now we've got a bird scan.
No, and you ask yourself, you know, why would you teach pigeons how to diagnose breast cancer?
Well,
you would ask yourself that.
Yeah.
The article was in Public Library of Science 1, and we'll put this on our Facebook page so you can go and make sure that I'm actually getting this straight. But it was reported in the International Business Times. If you are developing computer software that shows breast cancer lesions to pathologists, you don't want to pay a bunch of pathologists to tell you that you don't have the right software. What if you could get some pigeons and you said, look, if the pigeons can use this, then we know that the doctors can use this. So they'll actually use the pigeons to test out software to try to present breast tissue for diagnosis of cancer.
I am rarely on this show speechless. But I don't even know where to go with this.
Okay.
I mean, you know, carrier pigeon, I mean, I don't know. This is weird. And honestly, what would you put down on the medical bill? And is this got an ICD-10 code?
Well, we've talked about dogs that sniff out cancer.
Sure.
The fact that pigeons have very sharp visual recognition abilities. The problem is we always think of, like I said, these dogs, well, we got to figure out what they're doing, and then we'll make a machine that does it. We feel comfortable with machines. We don't feel comfortable with dogs and pigeons.
What I'm concerned about is okay, so you got a blue dot and you got a yellow dot. Underneath that, there's obviously what's on the image, right? There's an image representation. So they must have did an outline.
Showed them the image, and then beneath the image is a blue dot for that you push if you think it's benign, a yellow dot if you think it's cancer. And if you push the correct dot, it's a button, if you want to call it a button. You push the correct button, you get fed.
Nice.
If you push the wrong button, you don't, and you got 2 weeks to learn how to get fed.
Nice.
It's like a radiologist. Call it ride or starve. I can understand that. All right, this one is a shout out to our friend Glenn, who he wrote us on our Facebook page and says, my daughter is really interested in essential oils. What do you know about essential oils? This was the Atlantic Daily Newsletter, January 16th. And here's the thing. When we're talking about hens, whether there are three of them or 3,000 of them, they are a problem from a standpoint of antibiotic resistance. First of all, essential oils. These are plant extracts. Everything from Vicks VapoRub, our Health Matters personal favorite medication, some lice sprays, some pest control products, cleaning, personal care products, and so forth. They are used in the food industry as well as flavorings because they actually slow down the growth of bacteria. Now, here's the thing. In the U.S., right now, we are worried about germs that are resistant to our antibiotics. Caused more than 2 million illnesses in 2013. A lot of that was that drug-resistant staph, 23,000 deaths, $20 billion in health care costs, and it's getting worse. You know where we use our antibiotics in the U.S.?
No.
On the farm. Livestock consume up to 80% of antibiotics used in the U.S. Let me say
really?
It again. 80% of these antibiotics. Now, if you think about those farm conditions, the farmers say, well, you know, we're treating and preventing diseases by raising these livestock on antibiotics, and that's where 80% of our antibiotics go. Giving them antibiotics seems to improve their growth some. Think about that for a minute. You use antibiotics to fatten up chickens and beef. What does it do when you give antibiotics to people? Well, you know, we talked about that. It might make a difference in people's weight.
Do I look like somebody who's had a lot of antibiotics?
I'm not going to go there. All right. So what do we do instead of giving these livestock antibiotics? Well, the FDA has asked the agriculture industry to voluntarily use their antibiotics, but there's really no way to track that, so they're not doing it. But if you use these essential oils, October 2014, the journal Poultry Science, chickens who consume feed with added oregano oil, 59% lower mortality rate due to infections. British Medical Journal Proceedings, a combination of plant extracts from oregano, cinnamon, and chili peppers allowed weight gain in chickens and protected against intestinal infections. So these essential oils appear to be a substitute for antibiotics in French hens. So Glenn, there you go. Yet another use of essential oils. As a matter of fact, it may apply to humans as well. We may be able to mix essential oils with antibiotics, lower the amount of antibiotics we have to use, reduce resistance to antibiotics by essential oils. So I predict your daughter is going to have a great life in essential oils. This may be the breakout thing for essential oils, and that is our three French hens section. Two turtle doves and a pair
of closing in on the end.
Trivia experts in a party. That's close to a partridge in a parody. Is
right.
A parody of trivia parties.
If you say so.
I don't know. Got a couple of things that I did want to talk about.
So we're done. We've actually made our 12.
More or less.
I mean, you know, they're, you know, not something you're going to sing about, but they're there. This is Health Matters. It's what you expected.
Right. I searched for diseases related to the 12 days of Christmas, and
this is what I got.
We got a
I'm
going to
get
lines.
You a T-shirt
but
that says
got,
that.
Again, we got four calling birds. That was
Which the, obviously is your favorite.
Absolutely. Although the drumming turned unexpectedly to be very funny.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, come on. I don't even know what to say with that. I can't even imagine that.
I just think about I've got this image now of me dancing in a circle about 3 to 5 feet behind you. I can't shake it. I haven't slept since I read this article. It's ruining my life.
Sorry.
Now, this is from The Conversation, the Health and Medicine section. It's an online journal I did not know about, and it is from Paul Dawson, who's professor of food science at Clemson University. And he looked in on November 24th. He published work on double dipping. You know double dipping.
With French fries?
With chips and dip.
Chips
this is
and dip.
Be, right. For your holiday, when you bite the chip, you basically dip it, bite it.
So chips and salsa.
And dip it again.
Yep.
All right.
Are you a double dipper?
Well, with
Do you and your wife have a quick
Yeah. And I will tell you, going further than that, I had a friend. He's since moved away, but we used to have some pretty big parties at our house. You've been there. And we would do hamburgers for the parties.
Yeah, you,
and he,
you quit
one
inviting
time,
me.
He was decorating his burger, and he turns to his wife and he says, "Are you eating onions?" And it turns out he has an agreement, they have an agreement, that if one of them eats onions, they both eat onions. But if none of them eats onions, neither one of them eats onions.
Do you have that same kind of policy?
No, because Francis and I are not into the smelly foods.
Onions, you don't like
onions. Yeah, we're much more bland than that. At any rate, back to this. But we do double dip because we, on occasion, kiss each other on the lips, and we figure this is very similar.
Right, I guess so.
Okay.
I guess you could go there.
Paul Dawson, Clemson University. First experiment, they said, well, how much germs, if you bite a cracker, how much difference does it make? So they took a cracker and they dipped it into a cup of water. Then they took a cracker and bit off the end, and dipped that into the water. About 1,000 more bacteria per milliliter of water. Now, that's not a whole lot of bacteria.
Right.
When we're talking
about billions.
Yeah, billions of bacteria. 1,000 more per milliliter. And they looked at that almost immediately afterwards, so it might grow further. But here's the thing. These dips.
So what you just said was if you're going to double dip, do it quick.
Maybe.
You'll catch it at its minimum.
All right. They looked at three different kinds of dips. They looked at salsa, all natural Tostitos chunky hot salsa, which is a more acidic dip, and it's a Mexican dip, obviously. They looked at genuine chocolate flavor Hershey syrup. Have you ever dipped a cracker in genuine chocolate flavor Hershey syrup? That just doesn't sound good to me.
Well, I've never seen the opportunity to double dip that. I mean, I guess some people maybe have a fondue pot or something like that, but the Golden Corral chocolate fountain, but surely you're not standing there double dipping that.
I have so much better things than a cracker, but I guess the cracker was the cracker's just a thing. And then the third thing, which I might go for, Fritos mild cheddar flavor cheese dip. I like Fritos.
I do too.
Yeah. And so I could see that, especially the mild. I could see the mild. And so they dipped a cracker in, and then they bit the end off the cracker, and they dipped that in. 2 hours, initially, the salsa took on 5 times more bacteria than the chocolate or the cheese dips. And he has an explanation for that. Salsa is more runny. So when you dip your cracker in salsa and pull it out, some of the salsa that's on the cracker where you bit actually drips back into the salsa bowl.
Oh.
I'm sorry to be graphic, but this is the way nature is. We can't sugarcoat it. Well, we could sugarcoat it. It's probably better, but still. Let's stay focused here.
Well, you had me up until sugar.
The salsa took on 5 times more bacteria than the chocolate cheese dips. However, 2 hours later, the numbers were about the same because the salsa, he figures, is acidic, and that kills the bacteria. And that's their thinking. So cheese dip will run out. One thing they did find, and this is absolutely scientifically true, the cheese dip ran out faster than the salsa. He says more of the cheese sticks to the cracker or the chip on each dip. But if I'm dipping cheese, I'm going to get more than salsa. I can handle a little salsa flavor on my cracker. I'm going to go big on the cheese.
Absolutely.
So you need
I like
more.
Scoops.
One
like
thing
scoops?
They found out. Yeah.
Scoops. I mean, come on. If you're going to do that, let's scoop.
For cheese, absolutely.
Well, cheese or salsa, either one.
Well, the thing is, I don't want a scoop load of salsa. That's
Why?
Too much salsa.
Oh, it's great.
No, I just like a cracker.
Oh, it's,
that has
no,
some
it's
salsa
great.
Flavor.
You're misguided. You're misguided.
Well, that hurts.
Well, I mean, when it comes to food, Tony, you look at the biggest guy in the room and go, I'm going to follow his lead.
Now, then the end of this article, there are all sorts of things, of everything from typhoid Mary to tuberculosis and bubonic plague. And I'm just going, no. I mean, if you hang out with that kind of friends, then you're in the wrong place. Honestly, you don't need to be sharing a dip with people with Legionnaire's disease and tuberculosis. You just leave the party, go somewhere else. But the point is, you can spread germs through double dipping. How many people do you know got sick double dipping? That's my question.
How would you ever know?
Yeah, I know. I will tell you, getting foodborne illnesses in the holidays is pretty common.
Right.
And in fact, I and my wife.
But is that
worry
from the church potlucks or is that from the office potlucks?
Well, you
I
got
mean,
so many
we
things
talked about
going.
That this year.
Yeah,
too.
You got food that's staying out for a long time. You got food that you're not sure about the preparation. Then you got double dipping. You got all sorts of problems in the holidays.
I mean, here we are. Right here. I mean, this was a perfect ending to get you ready for all that holiday
stuff.
Festivities.
You know what Rick's doing? You know why he's talking so slowly? Rick does not want me to do this last
piece. I do not. I'm trying. You've got 30 seconds, and I'm trying to use it.
Okay.
I'm trying to give our listeners a Christmas present.
All right.
Here's your Christmas present from me to you.
That's right. Hunter's going to put on some
seconds.
Extra music, and so you get some extra Christmas music to spread holiday cheer instead of me talking about blood pressure control. And that's fair, but we will put that off for our next show. I wanted to talk about it this week, but we will actually devote a substantial part of a show to blood pressure control. There's a lot of information out there. It's very confusing, and we will try to help you out. Meanwhile, we will try to get off the air for Christmas.
Special thanks to Morehead State Public Radio producer Hunter Reese and to Eric Bilber, who wrote our Health Matters theme song, and to you, our loyal radio fans. Remember to show your support for Health Matters by visiting our digital empire. To listen to the show, go to WMKY.org or just visit us on Facebook. Do a search for HM Radio Show.
Now, this next section is not going to make any sense because we didn't get to the blood pressure part, but for our radio crew and the supportive folks at the Northeast AHEC, thanks for listening to our show, and remember...
And remember, you haven't heard about the blood pressure stuff, so don't expect this to make sense.
Don't panic.
More than 70 million people in the U.S. have high blood pressure, and the numbers are increasing steadily.
For more than a decade, a blood pressure goal of less than 140 over 90 was considered appropriate for most people with high blood pressure. In 2003, the Joint National Committee on Treatment of High Blood Pressure pressure recommended lowering the blood pressure goal to 130 over 80 for persons with kidney disease or diabetes.
Then, in 2014, the Joint National Committee recommended raising the blood pressure treatment goal for people over the age of 60 to 150 over 90.
In response to this, the American Heart Association recommended a blood pressure goal of 130 over 80 for persons with high risk for heart disease and 150 over 90 for patients over age 80.
The latest research, published last month in the New England Journal of Medicine, indicates that blood pressure should be treated to a goal of 120 over 80 or less.
Now that we're on the same page, whatever your numbers are, do not take this stuff lying down. Get out this week, make a healthy change in your life, and tune in next week as we ask Santa why kids get claustrophobia at Christmas on Moorhead State Public Radio.
Support for Health Matters on MSPR comes from the Northeast Kentucky Area Health Education Center, located at the St. Clair Regional Medical Center in Moorhead. Additional information on the Northeast AHEC is available online at neahec.org.